And on the line now, I have local label councillor Alison Gilliland. And thank you very much for taking the call, Alison.
You're very welcome, John. Lovely to speak with you.
And you too. And you recently put in a call to Dublin City Council to make local land available to Balmain residents for recreational use. And congratulations, you seem to be have had success with it. Would you just tell the listeners a bit about the history of Balmain?
Yeah, sure. Balmain is down there, I suppose, near the hole in the wall road, and it's one of the newer developments in what would be associated with the Northern Fringe. Now, technically, it's a private development. It was built by a developer that's currently in Nama, and the area around it would be public domain, Dublin City Council owned. Now, it's got a lovely little playground there for younger children, but what it was missing was just an open green space for older kids, say from 10 years up and younger teens, to play, to kick a ball around. So since I was elected in May, I've been attending the Safer Balmain Clon Griffin Forum meetings and the Balmain Residents Association meetings. And I suppose it was a gaping need for them, and something, I suppose, as an apartment dweller myself, I understand you don't have a back garden. You don't, as a parent, have a space where the kids can run out and play a ball nearby and be within your view, basically. So that's what I set about trying to support the residents with.
Okay, and you actually worked with the local residents' associations in getting this.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a wonderful young woman down there, Michelle McGoldrick. She's the chair of the Residents Association. And I suppose there's quite a bit of development still going on. The estate's unfinished and there's land there. But there was one particular piece of land just right in front of the estate, there alongside the Malahide Road. And it was being maintained regularly, like the grass was being cut every fortnight, more or less. Very flat, fenced in, very secure. So I made some queries in Dublin City Council, and it turned out that the land was owned by the council themselves. Now, it is zoned for residential use, but there's no plans to develop it at present. So I suppose we thought, why not open it and let the residents use it, let the kids sort of kick the ball around in it. There's no investment needed. There's no need to landscape it or put in facilities. They just needed access. So with that in mind, I put a motion to our local Dublin City area, Dublin North Central area meeting there on Monday, seeking that the committee would agree that it be opened on a temporary basis, because we know there will be development down the land. But until that happens, and it could be goodness knows how long, the people of the area, particularly the young kids, can use it, and mothers and fathers have peace of mind that the kids are just around the corner playing.
Okay, so it's basically just a green area.
And green area, yeah.
Is this, do you hope that this is just the first step, that maybe this will be turned into football pitches maybe, or a bigger...
Well, I'm not sure, because it is zoned for residential development, and I suppose we're all very aware of the housing crisis that's there at the moment. There are other developments planned, and according to Dublin City Council, within those developments there are open green spaces, and one of them is right the other side of Balmain. So I suppose it very much depends what local green space is planned for the area and when and where it comes about. Down the line, we could absolutely seek that it be made into lovely football pitches with facilities in it for the kids. That will depend on what the residents would like, and also the development plans in the area.
Okay, there are many residents' associations involved with this, or is it just the one Balmain Residents
Association? It was just the one. It's the one in Balmain. There's about 600 units in Balmain, and actually the association that has been set up was initiated by Clwyd Housing Association. There's a particular block there called P5, and there's another one coming on stream, P7, that are managed by Clwyd, and they're very, very proactive in working with the tenants and empowering them to get involved in their local community. And I suppose you know yourself, when people work for something locally, they really, really appreciate it, and then they themselves have a sense of achievement that when they come together, they can achieve things locally.
Okay, now I'm just reading a statement here, and maybe you could clear it up for me. Dublin City Council is waiting on the estate developer, who is NAMA, to finish off the estate before it can take it in charge. So does that mean you won't have this land until NAMA finish off the estate?
No. The taking in charge is about the roads around Balmain. For example, because they haven't been completely finished off to the specifications that Dublin City Council require, the council can't take them over and I suppose manage them and maintain them. So there would be lacking there lighting, perhaps traffic lights, traffic calming measures. The council can't put those in place because they technically don't own the land yet. So that's what the taking in charge.
Ah, yes, yeah. No, the way it reads is a bit confusing.
Yeah, and I suppose with the developer being in NAMA, there's no push there for him to. And I suppose financially, is he going to choose doing a new development where he can actually get a little bit of money in, or making a development that he's already done fit for taking over by the council?
And this is the original builder, is it? Is it, Alison?
Yeah. The developer. There was a few developers in that area with land, and unfortunately, with the housing boom bust, many of them have ended up in NAMA.
Yeah, now, I know people who live in Balmain, and there's a management company up there, and there was a bit of trouble with the management company. Is that still going on, or is that settled?
I'm not aware of that. No one has approached me with that. Yeah. I know from attending the last residence meeting that there are a few management companies, and they would be for the, I think there was perhaps two developers involved in the building of it, and each one has a management company, and then Clwyd would be a third one because they manage two particular blocks. And as someone, as I said before, who lives in a private complex, I know the trials and tribulations of private management companies and trying to get them to work for you, and costs associated with them, it can be very, very difficult. But I suppose what has happened with my working with the Residents Association, it really does highlight what can be achieved when local residents and public representatives work together.
Yes, it is, and congratulations on that. It's great that local residents associations are working with yourself and other councillors. So now, Alison, it's great that you're going to get this bit of land, and as I said, it'd be great to see it developed further in football pitches or stuff like that, but you won't know because it's...
We won't know, and I suppose like there is a funding crisis in the council. Like next month, we'll be looking at our budgets for it, and I think the argument we put forward to get this particular piece of land opened to local residents was that it didn't need anything. It just needed the gates to be open to allow the young people in. And I think we all know, going back to our young days, if you can just throw a few coats down and they can serve as goalposts, and children have imagination. And I think a free open space will allow them both their imaginations to run wild and them physically to run around. And I think that's the main thing. They have somewhere that it's fenced in, it's safe, secure, relatively flat, and they can enjoy the fresh air and get a bit of physical exercise at the same time.
Yeah, now I know there's a playground for younger children within the estate itself.
Yeah, there is a lovely little playground.
Yeah,
there.
I'm not sure about the percentage of the age brackets of children up there. Would there be many teenagers and young adults up there who will avail of this?
Yeah, there's a good few, and I says the playground, and I think Dublin City Council do playgrounds really, really well. It is more for the younger kids, like your sort of 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 year olds. But you know yourself, when kids get a little bit older, they get sort of bored, with playing with the younger kids, and I says they want their own space as well. And that's not by any manner of means taken away from the playground, but I think when we are organising new developments like that, I think we need to look at all age groups, because even though young families may start and live in those developments, their children will grow up and we need to provide spaces for them.
Yeah, that's very true, because I know there's a playground quite near us here in Nearfem, and sometimes you find that the teenagers aren't in school, they're going into the playground, and the younger kids aren't able to avail of the playground.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a great idea. Now, I introduce you as local Labour councillor Alison Gilliland, and you're obviously very popular, and you're doing great work there. And are you a bit nervous about seeking re-election under the banner of the Labour Party, considering recent polls and stuff like that?
Well, I suppose I'm literally just, I think, five months in the job, and it'll be another four and a half years before we go for re-election. But no, not at all. I'm very proud to be a Labour councillor. I believe in core Labour values. And I know at the moment there's a huge debate over water and water charges. And it's one we have to resolve collectively. There's various ways of expressing how we feel about those water charges. But as a Labour councillor and Labour Party member, I think our way of expressing that and trying to work through that is to work very publicly, giving out information about the actual facts about water charges, but also I think the budget, the recent changes in the budget to support people on lower incomes to pay those water charges is an expression of Labour trying to support people in difficulty and recognising that, you know, we've gone through an awful 8 years of unavailable resources, cutbacks in public services, a lot of people have lost their jobs, and we are thankfully turning a corner, and we are still very aware that there are people out there for whom they're not going to feel the recovery for some time, and it's, I suppose, our job to support that in the way that we can through specific budget measures.
Okay, and I think as well as water charges, the public are getting very, very annoyed when they read about call-out charges and this performance bonus thing that's happening. Is there something going to be done about all these things that are happening?
I would imagine so, and I think we all know from the media over the last week there's huge questions being asked about Irish Water and how it's been set up, and the bonus culture is, say, there's various conflicting reports as to, somebody said that, you know, you start out with your 100% salary and then you actually lose it, as opposed to gaining your bonus if you don't do or don't. And I thought what was very interesting, it's the lower paid workers in Irish Water that are getting less of a, if you want to call it, a bonus. So there are questions to be answered. There are questions to be answered with regard to the structure. The call-out fees, as you say, like, that is quite ridiculous. And it makes you question, do they actually want you to contact them for a call-out fee, or would they rather you go and get sorted out yourself? And I do think Irish Water need to be a little bit more proactive in explaining all of these issues.
Yeah, they seem to be more interested in threatening people about the payment rather than explaining what the payments are for.
Yeah, there's a lack of awareness out there, let's say, and not everybody has the internet where they can go online and look at the Irish Water website and find out for themselves for it. And then there's a lot of debate in the media and locally, and to a certain extent, and it was something I wrote about on my blog during the local elections, when there is a void of information, then misinformation will fill that void. And I think that's probably the key element to resolving this issue, is full facts and truthful information. Maybe Irish Water needs to start on our local media and national media to have an awareness raising campaign that will sort of put forward there what exactly the rates are, what the allowances are, and how do you go about claiming for support to pay your water charges.
Okay, Alison, were you very surprised about our recent protests and the huge demonstration? I think it was last weekend.
No, and I suppose I'm an absolute believer in peaceful protests, and I've been on a good few of them myself. People have every right to express how they're feeling, and I think it's brilliant that people can do so. To a certain extent, I think there is somewhat a misplaced anger. People have gone through so much, and the water charges seem to be an expression of perhaps this is the straw that's breaking the camel's back. Now, I do question, and we had a motion in Dublin City Council at their October meeting around the protests and I suppose the use of Gardaí on them. And I do have concerns around the peacefulness of the protests. I do have concerns that not all of the protests are coming from within the local community. I have concerns, huge concerns for the workers. Like anyone who stands around you and expresses their disdain as a worker for what you're doing, like that causes huge psychological and physical stress to you, and it is intimidation. And I know I've absolutely no problem with a household coming out and saying, listen, we don't want this meter, and being very peaceful about it. But I do have an issue with people coming in. I saw on social media a call for support to the protest in whatever street it was in. So there, I think there are questions there about how the protests are managed. And I think they are being managed, and to a certain extent they're being subterfuged for means that are not entirely legitimate or to do with a person's ability to pay the water charge.
Okay, there's arguments on both sides, but we can't really
go into
it, you know. Is there anything else now you'd like to add, Alison?
No, the one thing about what we were talking about originally, the Balmain, the fields, I think residents' associations working on local issues and working with their local representatives, because a lot of the time I'm asked, you know, what are you doing about whatever? And I say, well, that wasn't brought to my attention.
Yep.
So I think it's up to people. That we're very accessible. We are delighted to work with residents' associations and indeed with individuals in a personal capacity. But our role on Dublin City Council is at a local level. It's to enhance our areas, the amenities in them, the transport, the traffic management, all of that. And please do get in contact with us. And if you have ideas as well, because what happened in Balmain, it was the residents who wanted something, and we saw the field, and it was just a matter of making some investigations with regard to who owned it. I thankfully was in a position as a councillor to put the motion to the local council and move things on a little bit and get it supported. So I just say, if there's any local residents associations out there listening in, do give us a call. Like, I'm not the only public rep, obviously, but I'd be delighted to work with you on local issues and local ideas.
Okay, and you mentioned earlier, sorry, going back to the water charge again, just curiosity, you mentioned apartments. Are the apartments in Balmain rented, or are they owned by the residents?
It would be a mix. It's a mix of people who bought the apartments for themselves to live in, landlords who would have bought them for an investment to have tenants in, and then the Cluid, which is a housing association that supports people on social housing, they have two particular blocks that they manage, and they would house people on the social housing list in them.
And how would water charges work there for somebody who's renting?
Well, because it's a private area, it's a private estate, technically, you can't as yet be metered. So when you get your pack in and you fill it in, indicating how many people are in the house and the children, etc., you will pay what's called the assessed charge per adult in that house, less your discount, you know, water allowance per household.
Unfortunately, the clock is beating us, but congratulations on getting this the land handed over. And there's a lovely photograph of the local Balmain parents and children in front of what will be their new playing field. Do you want to give out contact details for any residents renting who would like to contact you?
Yeah, I have a blog that is www.alisongilliland, AlisonGilliland, .org. I have my contact details on that, and I can be contacted on my mobile and an email address, and I'll leave those with you, John.
Okay. Well, listen, Alison, thank you very much for taking the call this morning. And
you're
again,
very welcome.
Again, congratulations.
Great, and best of luck with the good work in Near FM. I'm a big fan of it, and I think you provide a really excellent local service.
Okay, thank you, Alison.